James chapter 4. And I want you to understand that sometimes we have things, or the Holy Ghost has things he wants to communicate to us. And the scripture is really quite clear about how that revelation knowledge and the flow of it and utterance is affected as much by the hearer, or maybe more, than the speaker. If you're ever going to have a manifestation of what heaven has already bought and paid for and given, you're going to have to change in your thinking that you're still waiting on God to get it to you and learn how to receive it. The word receive is a Greek word that's not passive. It doesn't mean that I'm just going to wait and wait and wait until it comes. It literally means to take. Now, there's a number of different prefixes and or suffixes that go with this Greek word lambano, which means to take. It's translated in our Bible receive, but it really means just lay hold on it. Grab it. Take it. Bring it to yourself and don't let go of it. Now, most people are on the passive side. Receiving is not passive. Receiving is actually has action to it. For example, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, as you have received Christ, so walk ye in him. Now, think about that phrase. There are a lot of people not walking in what they've received. They already have it, but they're still waiting to receive something they've already got. And so this word lambano means to take. Now, it's used with the various suffixes in the Greek and various prefixes. One of the prefixes in the Greek is the word kata, K-A-T-A, kata lambano. And it literally means, it's translated in Ephesians 3 in the King James Version, that we might be able to comprehend. It's translated comprehend there. With all the saints, what is the width, the breadth, the height, and the depth, and it talks about fullness. And what he's praying in Ephesians chapter 3 is that we would be rooted and built up in the love of God, moving by faith, so that we would have the spiritual strength. The word kata means down, and kata lambano is almost a violent, aggressive seizure. It means seize it, pull it down on yourself, and don't let go of it. That word kata means down. Lambano means to seize or receive. And we are to grasp, to seize what belongs to us in heaven. And we are by faith to pull it down on our lives. And this whole meeting is about learning how to do that. Now, this word lambano is the word that's used when Jesus is talking in Mark 11 about whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive. Believe you take it. You take it. And you don't take it when you see it. You receive it. That means you seize it. And before anybody else sees it, you know you have it because you've received it. And receiving, if you've really received it, you act differently. Because you don't act like you don't have it because you do have it. And that's called walking by faith. Amen. Nobody else can see it, but you can because you know you got it. And we're going to talk about how that transference occurs in condition and in geography and from kingdoms. You can transfer things from one kingdom to another kingdom. I don't know that we can get that deep in this series because of the limited time we have. Maybe that's why Dad Hagin used to do 10 days every quarter. I don't know. Because there's so much that we can delve into and can learn that we may not have time to get to. We just got to get the basics first out of the way of destroying some things that are keeping us from receiving. Amen. And one of those things is the attitude that we're waiting on God to give us something.
Right.
That's why we're not walking in it. Because the promises of God, it is finished. The yes and amen has already been said. The blood has already been shed. Jesus is far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that is named. And he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness according to his divine nature. We already have it. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Heaven doesn't have anything left to give us. It's no longer on the giving end. It's on the receiving end. And many times, and I found this to be so true, especially in our generation. And that is, people will ask me often, brother, they'll ask me, and they've probably done this to you when they find out you're a preacher. And they'll say, well, ha, 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 what faith are you? Like there's a bunch of different kinds. I'd hate to be so biblically ignorant that I'd have to ask that question. That's just demonstrating they don't know anything about the Bible at all. Because there is no such thing as a Baptist faith and a Methodist faith and Episcopalian faith or a Catholic faith or a Protestant faith. There's not white faith and black faith or male faith or female faith. There's just faith, and there's only one kind. It's the God kind of faith that he gave to you and me. Glory be to God. Now, I don't care if you got a Methodist shingle or a Baptist shingle or whatever. Faith will cause God to pass over a million people just to get to you because that's what he's looking for on the earth. And it takes faith to receive, and faith is a spiritual law, and it's actually a spiritual force. And you can know when you have it, and you can know when you're not operating in it, and you can examine yourself when you're out of faith and get yourself back in faith so that you can know you received. You can be confident that He's heard you when you prayed, and if He hears you, you got it. Abraham had a promise. And did you know? When he made an adjustment 24 years into his faith project, he got his miracle inside a year. And I'm going to tell you, the Word will bring those adjustments to us if we'll just let it. And He'll show us where we're missing it, where we're hitting it. And if we'll be humble enough to receive that correction, I'm telling you, we can go from wandering around and hoping we'll get there and maybe one day I'll have it, to grabbing it and pulling it down on ourselves. Oh, glory to God. And as I was headed this direction, you know, ministry must be received. I've had the Lord more than once tell me, now you're not walking in the fullness of what I told you to do. So there can be an anointing that's in you, something heaven gave you that's in you, that's lying dormant, that's not in manifestation, that you don't see anywhere around you. You say, how do you know that? Easy. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift that's in you. It's already in you. The problem is not you need something else, Timothy. You need to start walking in what you already got. And so this generation, especially because of little or no teaching along these lines, they have faith, but their attitude toward faith is, oh, I'm believing God. As if it's a general kind of, the Lord's going to do something. I know it's going to turn out okay. Hallelujah, I'm believing God. And that is not what Jesus said to do. In Mark 11, 23 and 24, Jesus told us to believe, and He told us that there was two very specific things we had to believe. What He said in verse 23 was, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe. Believe what? Oh, the mountain's going to move. I just know the Lord's going to do something about it. Is that what we're supposed to believe? So who's doing something about the mountain?
We are.
We must believe that what we say, specifically, what you say about it is going to come to pass. And you can always tell when people aren't solidified in that, because when they get a real challenge in a faith project, first thing they start saying is, oh, don't talk that negative stuff around me. It tells me they don't have a revelation that it's not what those other people are saying about it's going to come to pass. It's what you say about it's going to come to pass. Yeah. It doesn't matter if there's 1,000 people saying it won't happen. If you believe in your heart it's going to happen, they can't. You know what I found out reading the Word of God? Oh, read the Bible. It's a good book. You know what I found out reading the Word of God? God's plan and promise was for an entire nation to go in the promised land. His will was not fully realized because only two men of that whole generation went in. Yeah. Now here's the point I'm going to make to you. A nation full of doubt couldn't keep Joshua and Caleb out. A whole nation saying the other. I'm telling you, God told Joshua, if you'll meditate this book of the law day and night and observe to do according to all that is written therein, thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Thou shalt have good success, and you'll deal wisely in the affairs of life. And God was emphatic. I'll be with you like I was with Moses, and no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I'm telling you, when you learn how to receive from God and walk in what belongs to you, there are things that are currently in your way that will get out of your way, because there's nothing in your way that has more authority on the outside of you than you have on the inside of you. But you've got to learn how to walk in what you got and quit waiting on getting something else and learn how to receive from heaven. Glory to God. Jesus said in Mark 11, 23 and 24, you've got to believe two specific things. One, you must believe that what you say will come to pass. And number two, verse 24, whatsoever things you desire. I don't know if I ought to dive off in that just right now. But your and my desires, in fact, we will. We'll touch that in just a minute. We'll come back to that. Are one of the principal keys of receiving from God. We're going to have to do something with our soul and the desires of our heart if we're ever going to get over into receiving. And I'm going to prove this to you here in a minute. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe what? One day it's going to come. God's a good God, and He has a reason that I'm not well yet. I guess He's teaching me something, or in His own good time. Maybe I just hadn't found the right doctor. Maybe I'm waiting on them to invent a cure. And we sit here and look at this like, but every one of us has been in church long enough, we've heard all that mess. I'm going to go to the doctor and find out what's wrong with me so I'll know how to pray. Friend, if you don't know how to pray before you know what's wrong with you, you're not going to know how to pray after you know what's wrong with you. Now you got to find out how to pray and deal with the fear.
Amen.
You better figure out how to pray before you... No. Glory to God. Then you got other people I'm not going to a doctor because that's a lack of faith. What? Come on. Since when does going to the doctor have anything to do with your faith? Amen. He's going to treat your body, not your...
Right.
Let me ask you a question. Well, I'm just believing, you know. Okay. Has anybody ever had a splinter in their finger?
No.
What'd you do? Whoa, 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 whoa. You didn't just speak to it and pray and believe and hope it'd go away? You got a needle? That needle helped, didn't it? So you just took your little needle and dipped it in some alcohol, maybe? Or if you had Papa around, he dug out his old timer. And there wasn't any alcohol. And the little kids run screaming, ah, ah! All my kids, if they ever had a splinter in their finger, I'd reach in my pocket, they'd run screaming to Mama. Dad's going to come at me with his knife. I was going in there to get that splinter out. Why? Because I didn't figure it was a lack of faith. I figured there's a foreign something in me that don't need to be in there. I need to get that out of there.
Come on, that's right.
Right?
Yes.
And that little operation I did on my finger didn't have anything to do with whether I was believing God that I'd be every whit whole, and I can't tell you where the splinter was now. I've had several splinters, and I couldn't tell you where they were. Because they're gone, and I'm healed, and I don't even remember it, and there's no pain.
Hallelujah.
Because I'm made to be restored.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Yes, sir. Now, we're talking about how to receive from heaven. And so he said in Mark 11, 24, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe what?
Receive.
So you can't just have this general faith. What do you have to believe? That you receive.
That's right.
Which means we have to have our faith developed in receiving. If we're going to exercise our faith to receive, we've got to have some faith.
Right.
And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
So faith to receive comes from hearing what the word of God says about how to receive.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
And one of the things he says in Mark 11, 23 and 24 is you must believe that you receive what you say when you say it. So even though faith comes by hearing, and part of the process is when we hear ourselves say it, we're planting seeds and our faith is building, there comes a time where we're no longer saying something that we believe is going to come to happen. But we believe it's happening because we're saying it.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm not just believing, I know. I'm the 800-pound gorilla now. You know where the 800-pound gorilla sleeps, anywhere he wants. He doesn't ask permission, glory to God. We're the strong man on the block.
Amen.
Why? Because we have it. It amazes me the Christians that are constantly trying to get to a place they've already arrived. And it tells me so many of us are walking by our feelings and our emotions and our sight. The Bible says we've got to walk by faith and not by sight.
Yeah.
Faith is the currency that drives that kingdom. And we all have it. It's just so awesome. Your faith will do what my faith will do. My faith will raise the dead. What about yours?
Amen. Absolutely.
My faith will grow a strong, stable church. What about yours?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
My faith will cause people to be healed when I put my hands on them. What about your faith?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad God's no respecter of persons?
Yes.
My faith will have courage to sow a seed in famine and get it multiplied back. What about yours?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, your faith will do exactly what anybody's faith has ever done. Because God has dealt to you the measure of faith. Now the problem is it's kind of like muscles. Everybody has them sitting in this room. Some aren't quite as developed. Let's don't go any further down that line. How about that? Some folks wave at you, and their lower arm waves along with them.
No.
You're right. It ain't right. I don't have a clue who I'm talking about, you know. We got enough AC in 100-degree weather. We got all y'all wearing jackets. That's what I'm talking about. Well, we can't see them waving at ourselves twice. But just because it may not look like there's any muscle under there, there is.
There is, yes.
If you don't believe it, go to the gym. You're going to come out. Not sore, but so.
Yes.
Next day, man, I'm so. Hey, you can't even say the whole word, you hurt so bad. Because that little bit of muscle you had in there, you used it. I hadn't been using it a while. But I'm telling you, if you use it consistently, there'll be a time. You'll start seeing some things change. Because it's there. It's just got to be used. You've got faith. It's there. Oh, it's there. It's there. It's just got to be used. Glory to God. And heaven is for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. All right. James chapter 4. Have you found it? I always say by this time in the message, if you haven't, you're hopelessly lost. James chapter 4. Let's just start reading in verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have, and cannot, everybody say cannot.
Cannot
what? Now, what you're going to notice here in just a minute is he's going to take the word receive, and he is going to use that word in the next verse, and contextually, we're going to see obtaining and receiving are synonymous. You cannot obtain. Now, I'm going to shift gears a little bit from where I thought I might be going to just kind of lay a little foundation on the way. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, if you would. Back up a book to Hebrews 11. It will come right back to James 4. But I want you to look at what it says in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Anybody know what the next verse says? By what? It. What is the it?
Faith.
By the force of faith, the elders obtained. Amen? So, he tells us clearly here that the way to obtain both the good report, the way to obtain the substance of the things we hope for, is by faith. In fact, he says in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Amen. Now let's go back to James 4 and let's look at this. He says, you cannot obtain. You can get yourself in a position to where unless you've changed the way you're going about it, you can hope to obtain it. You can say, I'm going to get it. You can say, God's going to do it. You can say, it's going to turn out all right this time. I mean, the Lord's going to bring it around. But the way you're going about it violates the scriptural law that God says you have to do to get it. So you can get in a position to where you've deceived your own heart, thinking you're going to receive something, and yet you cannot obtain it in the current situation you're in. He says here, you cannot obtain it. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Now notice the next verse. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. What's the next phrase? That you may what? Consume it on your own lust. So that tells you right there that when he's talking about asking amiss in context, what is amiss? Asking the wrong way, using the wrong words. What is it? Where are we missing it? According to this, we're missing it in our desires. Evidently, our desires have so much to do with whether or not we're going to receive from heaven. Because God's much more, he's got a million ways to get you $1 million. It's not up to you to figure out how it's going to come. The problem is not him getting it to you. Oh, glory to God. You understand what I'm saying? So there are things that unless we adjust them, we're not going to receive. Now, I want you to look with me, if you would. We're going to come back to the book of James in a different chapter. But look with me, if you would, over in the epistles of John. And let's go to 1 John. Let's look at 1 John chapter 3. It says this, verse 19. Hereby know we that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. But, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. So that tells me right there, part of this whole series of meetings is to get us to the place where we really believe we already have everything he's given us. Amen. That there's nothing between us and God that's telling us we can't have it because we already do.
Amen.
See, the mindset that says you're not going to get it this time is a mindset that I'm without it, I'm separated from it, and there's something I've done in my past or my worthiness that's going to keep me from it. But if I already have received it, then the devil tells me I'm not going to get it. He's too late. That's like shutting the door, the barn door, after the horse is out. It doesn't do you any good. He can't keep me from getting something I already have. And he's constantly playing that game to get us over into the pressure and the struggle of trying to get something. So we get out of our set place and we get out of the it is finished role and position. He's won the victory. He's done it all for me. And we have to destroy. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Condemnation is a thief to our reception. And we have to attack it at all costs. But it's not from heaven. It's a judgment that says you can't do it. You messed up too bad. You can't do it. Your past time, it should have happened long ago. Well, you didn't do this. You're not worthy. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough education. Well, you're female. You're whatever. None of that has anything to do with whether or not Jesus died and rose again for you and you have what he promised. Oh, glory to God. And the only way to get that excise out of our heart and mind is the word is like a two-edged sword. We hear it enough faith will rise and it'll go to war with those things that are telling us we cannot obtain. And we'll get free from that war in our own soul. And our heart will quit condemning us. And we'll start believing, instead of why me, we'll start saying why not me. Instead of saying can he, we start saying he can. Because we know who he is and who he is to me and who he is in me. And what he'll do for me, what he's already done for me. Bro, glory be to God. I don't know what I'm doing for you, but I'm already happier. Let's read on down here. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, verse 21, then we have confidence toward God. Verse 22, and whatsoever, that's a big word right there. Whatsoever we ask, we what?
Receive.
Don't you know that most church people would look at you just cockeyed if you said, everything I ask God for, I receive. What if you just stood up in front of them and said, I don't know about you, but I don't have unanswered prayer. You see how that those of us that call ourselves faith folk, when I say that, it challenges us.
Yes.
You know it challenges folks that don't have faith, don't know faith, don't believe this stuff. And the truth is, we ought to be getting our prayers answered consistently. We are guaranteed results.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So he's saying here to us, whatever we ask, if we can get our heart assured in the truth before him so that our heart is not condemning us and we have confidence before God, whatever we ask.
That's right.
But we got to be bold enough to ask him because we have enough confidence that he'll do it because we believe we're worthy to receive it. But if we stay over here on this doubt side and questioning side and maybe God has a bigger plan and I'm waiting until he does it and all that, then you cannot obtain it. Because receiving is not a passive thing. Receiving is knowing so sure it belongs to you that you just don't let somebody else have your keys and go get in your car and drive it home to their house. You are so sure that the car you came in belongs to you, you keep the keys and you don't let anybody have them unless you can trust them.
Right.
Isn't that right? Because that car's for your use.
That's right.
It belongs to you. And you would probably, as Christian as you are, suddenly lay hands upon the person trying to take it from you. And you would enlist help to lay hands upon this person, to seize them at all costs. You're not going home with my stuff. If you feel that way about your car, why don't you feel that way about your healing? Because your car was bought with a few green pieces of paper with dead guys' pictures on it. Your healing was bought with the blood of the Son of the living God. And it's time for us to get aggressive about this and say, no, 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 Mr. Devil, that belongs to me. Now, you just get right on back across your property line. Right. Tell my, amen.
Amen.
He's recently, and he's talking about the fact that he's got a Muslim lives next door to him. He's talking about he came out one day, and they're talking on the property line. And a guy came over on his side of the line, and he's talking to him, and he's talking about the Quran and the Bible. He said, I don't blame you for being a backslidden Muslim and not knowing what the Quran says. I got a lot of backslidden Christians in my church. They don't know what the Bible says. Oh, I'm sorry I've offended you, preacher. He said, no, you hadn't offended me, you know. And then they talk a little more. And then he says, but Allah, we serve the same God. He said, now you've offended me. Get back across the line.
Right.
He shoot him back on his property. And then he said, just in case you decide to start reading that Quran that you say you believe, and you get all fired up and start deciding to live by it, I just want you to know, I sleep with 245s under my pillow. Because truth is, he's, you know, we are a peaceful religion. Well, there probably are. I mean, backslidden Muslims probably do think that it's peaceful. And backslidden Christians do wait on God to receive. But the real thing is serious about it. And the day we start getting serious about receiving is the day we're going to start walking in some victories that we realize that we hadn't been waiting on God. God's been waiting on us. Amen?
Amen.
Now, let's read on down here very quickly here. He says in verse 22, whatever we ask. Say it, whatever I ask.
Whatever I ask.
Say it again.
Whatever I ask.
Say it one more time.
Whatever I ask.
I receive.
I receive.
I'm going to get mine.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk in the fullness of what belongs to me.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'm a receiver. Say it.
I'm a receiver.
Say, I believe
that
I receive.
I
don't know about you, but I'm a receiver.
Yeah.
Amen. So he says, whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. That word because is a big word. That means I'm putting myself in position to receive. Evidently, keeping his commandments is one of the master keys in positioning yourself to receive. You can't just receive any old way. You can't just scattergun a prayer up there to the big man upstairs and you know he's going to take care of me. No. I've said this over the years, but it's so true. There was a sign in a mechanic shop one time and he had this sign in the mechanic shop and it said, God loveth a cheerful giver, but he accepteth from a grouch. And I had to look at him and tell him, you know your sign's a lie, don't you? I said, God doesn't accept every offering that's offered.
That's it.
He doesn't accept your old half-baked, drawn-on, wadded-up, curled-up, torn-up dollar. Oh, he'll accept your dollar if it's from the right heart, like the widow's mite. Yeah. It's what you've got and you're bringing in a pure heart. It'll be more than the guy that puts in a million.
Sure.
You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But honor has so much more to do with the value of your offering than the amount.
Amen.
Honor and faith. Honor the Lord with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase.
Yeah.
Honor the Lord, honor the Lord, honor the Lord with your substance. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. There is no such thing as an honorable offering without faith attached to it. Just plunking in the bucket, you're not going to activate supernatural increase. Has to be faith attached to your offering for it to have honor. Because that's what changes kingdoms with it. That's what causes something that's really born of men that has no heavenly value or eternal value. But the moment you receive it as a believer, anoint it, begin to use it to redeem the time and minister the gospel. I say about certain things that come in my possession, my vehicles, my airplanes, my home, the money. I'm telling you, when it comes into my possession, I have decided you will never serve the devil again.
Yeah.
I don't intend for anything I ever own to ever go back into that system.
That's right.
Because I've started to learn how to change systems with my stuff. Amen?
Yeah.
Woo, glory to God. Now let's read this because this is so powerful. We keep, everybody say, I keep.
I keep.
His commandments.
His commandments.
Now let me ask you this. Is a commandment a suggestion?
No.
Is this like, if you pray in one of the ways God says you can receive, is that what he's saying, like one of the many?
Uh-uh.
Or is he saying, this is the way you do it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the preacher doesn't pray different than the nursery worker, right? So we got to get that out of our brain. Well, sure, God's going to do that for you. You're a preacher. I know a bunch of preachers he's not working for.
Right.
Doesn't work because you're a preacher. Works because you're a believer. And he says right here that do his commandments and do those things that are what? Everybody say pleasing.
Pleasing.
Man, that's a big word. In his sight. This is his commandment. Now, he's not only said to receive, you got to do his commandment. Now he's telling you what the commandment is. You got to believe. When we ask for something, we are commanded to believe we receive it.
Yeah.
Or we cannot obtain it. Because unless we believe we receive it before we see it, we are not doing His commandment. He commanded us to live this way. Whatever we ask, if there's confidence in our heart and not doubt and condemnation. Now you see why condemnation is so damnable, if you will, so vile, so offending, so deluding, so contaminating. Because condemnation is not faith. Condemnation is me judging myself unworthy when I said I was worthy.
Yes.
Me saying I don't have it when He's saying I do have it.
Right.
Now God and I are in disagreement. Because
right.
God says I'm healed and I'm saying I still hurt.
Yes.
And since God's right, I can't be right till I agree with God. Because
right.
One of us is lying, one of us is wrong. And a lie is unholy.
Right.
So if He says I have it and I say I don't, one of us is lying and I know who it is.
Yes.
Moi. Regardless of what I feel, regardless of what I think, regardless of what I see, if I'm going to please God, I absolutely have to do the commandment. And the commandment says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them. What? The things you desire when you pray. Not when you see it, not when it comes, not one day down the line when everybody else can see it. You receive it when you pray because whatever you ask, you receive. You're commanded to believe you receive when you ask. And this is the confidence that if I ask anything and according to His will, He hears me. And if He hears me, I know I got it. So I'm going to quit acting like I don't have it because I do have it. And pretty soon everybody's going to see I got it. So thank you, Lord, it's mine. So I'm not the sick trying to get well. I'm the healed holding fast to my health. I'm not the broke trying to get prosperous. I'm rich by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let the poor say I'm rich. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the sick say I'm well. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I am a receiver. Whatever I have asked, I receive it. I'm going to say something. Both in reality, because I really mean it and do believe it. I don't just believe it and know it. But I'm saying it by faith because I do believe it. And I'm saying it because I believe you need to hear it, but I need to hear myself say it. I get my prayers answered. God loves me. God is for me. God is with me. And he's faithful to me. And he's merciful to me. And he does not change. And he will not leave me. And he cannot change. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If believers lay hands on the sick, I would assume the sick would recover because I get my prayers answered. Can you see if you could ever get to a corporate faith where everybody believed that? If we could ever get to the place to where, rather than just playing for me and my son Jimmy and gimme, 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 that we got to a place to where we sought the kingdom and his righteousness first, knowing I can trust God, the rent's going to come. I can trust God, he's going to take care of my family. I can trust God, I don't need this other stuff. What I really want is the glory. What I really want to be is used of God in the gifts of the Spirit. What I really want. And can you imagine a church that would come desiring to see the power of God, believing and being confident and right enough in their heart that they know God's going to answer that prayer, and in the same service all those people begin to pull for the power to come in that meeting? I'm telling you, that's what happened in the early church. They stayed in that upper room long enough till they got in one accord, one place. And they got that other stuff out of them. And they got over into a place where their desires lined up with kingdom desires. And they released faith on that desire and believed they received them. The next thing you know, a whole kingdom, a new kingdom invaded the earth's atmosphere. 120 men and women, we're still talking about them. 2,000 years ago, they turned the world upside down. Well, I'm telling you this, that's the beginning of our church. And the Bible prophesies that there's about to be restoration of the early and the latter rain. Did you know that the book of Hosea tells us to ask for that rain? It says, ask ye of the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. You know, one of the reasons we're not receiving is because we're not asking. You have not because you ask not. And you ask to receive not because you ask amiss. Because usually we want the revival to hit our church in town. So it can validate that we're there by God. We've heard from God. Let me tell you something. There's a revival hitting this planet so big that other churches in this city, all of them, can't handle it if they got on the same page. I'm not responsible to be the church having the revival in town. I'm responsible to do the will of God in my city, to let this town not go to hell on my watch, to occupy this ground by faith and believe God, keep the enemy out of our garden so that the will of God can be done in Texarkana, USA. And vicariously, here's what I think is going to happen. Folks that are hungry for that kind of stuff, you know, it's not about... The Bible says in the book of Amos, in the last days, there's going to be a great famine. And it says not a famine of bread or thirst for water, a famine of the words of the Lord. I believe we're in that day now. Oh, there's a lot of teachers, and we have itching ears, and they got a lot of things, charismatic. But I'm talking about ministers who are fit to demonstrate what they're preaching. They talk about all this stuff, send folks home, and nothing ever manifests. Why? Because there's not enough power to blow their nose. Because instead of saying grace is to live holy and to raise the dead, grace becomes just me doing what I want. Grace is not me living however I want to live and God's going to endorse it. Grace is the empowerment of God beyond myself to fulfill the will of God in full and bring the power of God on the scene. Grace to live right. Woo! I'm empowered not to sin, not to sin. I'm empowered to live different than the world, not be like the world. Amen. I believe in grace too, but grace is going to start it and grace is going to finish it and grace is going to say, who are you, Great Mountain, before Tracy Harris, before Harvest International Ministries, before Rick Riddle, before Bruce Cohen, you will become a plane, glory to God. Why? Because faith activates a grace that blows the mountain out of your way so you can get done what God said to do and raises the dead and lengthens legs and heals the sick and opens blinded eyes. That's what grace is about. God doing for us by his resurrection power what we can never do in our own strength. Grace is about getting the power of God in the service, not quitting having altar calls, because everybody's already forgiven, so why have an altar call? Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And when you read the New Testament, it becomes very clear that there are three words that are absolutely synonymous. You cannot separate them. Grace, strength, and power. I can prove it to you in the Bible. We just are not going that direction tonight. So the power to work apostolic miracles that undeniably prove the tomb is empty, that raised Paul from the dead and he walked 30 miles and preached the next day, he said, I rejoice in my infirmities, that in my weakness the power of Christ might rest upon me. His grace is sufficient in my weakness, that the strength of Christ might rest upon me. All the miracles that Paul did, he did because of the grace. Yes. Grace wasn't just to reconcile him to God so he could go preach to the Gentile world. You don't have to do anything. Grace was on him to take the risen power of a resurrected Christ into a world that didn't know God so they could see that his God was the one God different than all their gods. And we don't get over there without faith. Romans 5 says, by faith we have access into this grace. Every gift is a grace gift. We can't earn it, but we receive it by faith. And we got to get our heart confident. The purpose of preaching grace is not so we can just, I'm free from responsibility. The purpose of preaching grace is to clear us of condemnation so we can boldly and confidently believe God to use us in power. Because condemnation will destroy your ability to believe God could ever use you that way. Grace of God is to help us do something. I'm not the healer, but I have been authorized, appointed, and anointed in grace to destroy every abnormal cell and tumor at its root. Amen. It'll do what I say when I talk to it in the name of Jesus. Because I died. My old man died and was crucified with Christ. As a new man alive, he's born again. And greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And he has been given a name that's above every name. And when he stands in front of demons, they tremble and quake and leave. When I say in Jesus' name, you leave. When I tell them to, just like if Jesus were standing there, because I'm standing here as his representative. That's grace. Something I could never do in my own weak, wretched, unbelieving self. That guy died. And there's a new sheriff in town. So ship the devil's saddle home. Man. Whew. So then what is, Jesus said, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive. So obviously, the master key to receiving is believing you receive. Because he says here, we're not going to receive it unless we do his commandments. And his commandment is to believe. That's what it says right here. And this is his commandment, that we should believe.
Amen.
That's how you receive. You believe you receive.
Amen.
You have faith to receive. Faith is what grabs it and pulls it down and into yourself.
Amen.
Oh, glory. The hand of faith reaches in the spirit realm and brings it to you. Now, let me prove this one more time. Let's go back. I told you we're going back to James. James chapter 1. Many of us know this, and it tells us that we're to count it all joy for the trying of our faith worketh patience, that we're to let patience have her perfect work, that when we are perfect and entire, we can come out of whatever it is we're walking through lacking nothing. So the idea is to be every whit whole. Would you agree?
Yes.
And what is the agent that's going to bring us out of what's trying to steal, kill, and destroy in our life? What is the agent? Faith. It's not a trick question. You just read it. Faith. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
So really, you're not the one on trial. Your faith is. Can you see that? That's why you have to know that you're the righteousness of God. Because you walking through something doesn't mean you're not believing. It doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. It just means we got an enemy. And we got to stay in faith. And faith will bring us out. Perfect. Entire. Every whit whole. Lacking nothing.
Amen.
Now, evidently, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, everybody say, lack wisdom.
Lack.
Evidently, that was the reason we got in the mess. Hello? Evidently, a lack of wisdom is how this mess happened. I mean, it's just not going to do you any good to say, well, what happened was? Because what happened was we were dumb. We didn't know what to do.
Amen.
We made a bad decision. It's not somebody else's fault. And he says, if you lack wisdom, and evidently that's our biggest lack, because he said we can come out perfect and entire, lacking what?
Nothing.
That means it's going to take the wisdom to produce the wholeness. You see the word lack there? We come out lacking nothing if any of you lack wisdom. So evidently the principal lack we have is a lack of wisdom. That's our principal lack. Evidently if we get wisdom, our body lacks healing, we can get healed. If we get wisdom, our bank book lacks money, we can get money, because God knows how to get that to us if we got the wisdom. Evidently, the principal thing is the wisdom. And the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. What does God do? He gives to all men liberally. He will not withhold it. He won't find a reason not to give it to you. And he gives freely and generously, more than what you need. But it says in verse 6, look at this, but let him ask how?
Amen.
Say this out loud. Wisdom,
is received
by faith. How many of you want to receive wisdom?
Yes.
But then you got to believe you receive it before you've got it. You got to quit walking around saying, well, I just don't know what to do about this. Lord, what do I do about this? No, you set a time. Hold the word up before God. Let him know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you know he's the source of all wisdom, and what you don't know he does.
Yes.
And he's covenanted with you that he's given you the spirit not of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that you might know the things that are freely given to you of God. That you have the mind of Christ and you have all the answers in your hand that are blood bought. And you take that before the throne and you say, Almighty God, my natural mind doesn't have the fruit of understanding about how to carry it out in this realm. But I believe with all of my heart, your spirit in my spirit knows exactly what to do. And we've got to learn, just like a man drops a bucket down in a well, how to draw wisdom up out of our inner man. Because
right.
We're always waiting for God to tell us what to do. And we don't know how to believe we receive wisdom to make a withdrawal.
Because
right. Wisdom doesn't come on your head from out here. Wisdom comes up out of your spirit to your head.
Yeah.
We can talk about that later. But my point is, wisdom's our lack, right? So it says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Why? For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall what? The Bible says, don't even let that man think. That is big. So why do preachers play games knowing that they're just trying to keep people satisfied when they come ask them a question and the preacher don't have the answer? And so they give them some cliche that they heard somebody else say. It's not even Bible. No, he says, let not that man even think. Part of my assignment in these services is to destroy thinking that is wrong. By the help of the Holy Ghost, the prophetic teaching anointing on my life, and the Word of God, I'm going to do my best not to let you think the thoughts that have been keeping you from receiving. Let not that man even think he shall receive anything. What's the next phrase? Of who? Say that three times.
Of the Lord.
Evidently, not everything we ask and receive is of the Lord. This is where I've been going all night. The title of this message is Receiving of the Lord. Because the Bible is full of people that had desires that were not consistent with God's desires. But because God had given them authority and they